Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And again, what a blessing it has been just being in church today. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me into the book of Ephesians, and chapter 3. Ephesians and chapter 3. We're going to be reading verse 13 down to the end of the chapter, verse 21. Paul's epistle to the church at Ephesus here. Ephesians in chapter 3, if you would, if you're able to, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 13. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, again, Lord, what a blessing it is to be assembled here today. And Lord, I thank you for the privilege that you have made available to each one that is here and that is listening to the Word of God being preached. And I pray, God, that you would once again use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your Word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Have you ever prayed for strength? You say every day, every hour, strength. You see, when you feel physically weak, you can stop at a McDonald's and eat. And that food that you consume becomes fuel for the body. And when you're eating, you can start, if you have been weak because of lack of food. And as you eat and that food goes into your body, God's designed the body to make that, turn that into fuel that goes into your bloodstream that is able to take all the different things throughout your whole body to energize your body. It becomes fuel to the body to be able to be strong. And as you have this fuel in your body, then you can accomplish things because you have been strengthened. What are we to do when we mentally and spiritually become weak, ready to faint? Don't think we can take anymore. You've been there. You've been saved for any period of time. I'm sure that you have faced some of that. Feeling of being overwhelmed. Sometimes we're overwhelmed with grief, sorrow. Sometimes we're overwhelmed with confusion. Just not knowing what to do. The decisions that we need to make. Well, we have Ephesians in chapter 3 that can help us. See, in Ephesians in chapter 3, Paul is revealing New Testament revelation of this dispensation of grace known as the New Testament. This church age. And Paul reveals some of that in chapter 3. Look at verse 1 through 5 here. It helps you to see this. It says, for this cause, Paul's writing, he says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. It's what Jesus Christ brought in as he fulfilled the Old Testament. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, this is a letter that he's writing to believers in the New Testament church that are facing a lot of opposition. They're facing a lot of trials and tribulation, if you will, for their time, and possibly feeling weak. And he even mentions in verse 13, I desire that you faint not. They're weak and they're ready to faint and ready just to throw up their hands because they're having a hard time knowing just how to deal with what they have to deal with. And so he says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles. This is during the apostolic age, and the apostles had this, and the prophets by the Spirit. You see, Paul knew that they would have need to be spiritually strengthened. In this apostolic age, as well as throughout this New Testament church age. When we have a desire to live for Christ and we have a desire to represent Jesus Christ as every born-again believer should represent Christ as a Christian, you're going to face a lot of opposition. Spiritual opposition from the devil and opposition from the world that does not see things the way that you see things because you're looking at the Word of God. You're looking at the example and the teachings of Christ. And so there's going to be a lot of opposition. There's going to be battles that we're going to have to face. And in order to do that, Paul knew that they would have need to be spiritually strengthened. Ephesians in chapter 3, and part of what we read this morning as our text, he says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation, because they're seeing what Paul's going through and knowing that they're going to be going through it, the persecution that would be attached to Christianity. For this cause, he did not want them to faint. And that says, for this cause, I don't want you to faint. I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named. And this is it right here, that he would grant you. So Paul is praying for and asking for the believers there in this first century church, and it has been preserved because it's scripture. It's what we have that represents the mind of God today. New Testament Christianity today, we have the scriptures. And so he said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, and here it is right here, to be strengthened. We need to be, as much as we need to fuel the body to be able to have physical strength to do work that we need to do physically, we need to have this spiritual strength. To be strengthened. Can I tell you, this is something that is common in Paul's writings. He addresses this many times as he is writing to the churches. Matter of fact, even in the book of Ephesians, if you look over a couple chapters there, in Ephesians in chapter 6, right before he gives them the idea of the the armor of God and having to have the armor of God on to face the wiles of the devil. He says this about that in verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That means you have to be strengthened to be strong in the Lord. That's a spiritual relationship we have with Jesus Christ. In order to have that spiritual relationship where it all needs to be, we need to be strengthened in that relationship. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so we find that our strength comes from Christ. And it's powerful. Yeah. In the book of Colossians, and just a couple books over, and after Philippians, and then you have the book of Colossians. Let me read to you. As he writes to the believers in Colossae, he says here in verse chapter 1 and verse 9, he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray. So Paul, his prayer for the believers is that God would strengthen them. He's praying for them, and we need to pray for strength, and we need to pray one another. We need to pray for strength for each other. He said, I do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that He might walk worthy, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay, that's doing the work that God would have us to do and growing in grace and all the things. Strengthened. We have to be strengthened to be able to do these things. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Again, the power, the strength comes from God and His power. According to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Praying for strength to live a spiritual life. Because without it, you'll not live a spiritual life. Everyone from birth, and then I guess you go to the age of accountability where you are accountable for the decisions you make. And that's going to vary from individual to individual. Up until that age of accountability, I mean, you're pretty much just being raised and you're being done. You're doing what you've been told to do, and you really don't have that ability to make personal decisions, but you will come to that place, every child will come to the place where they will start making personal decisions. So if you will, maybe even from the age of accountability to physical death, which we will all face. Some will not live as long as others will live. You will not have as long a period of time to be accountable for. But if you live a year after the age of accountability, you're going to be held accountable for that year. If you live 10 years after the age of accountability, you're going to be held accountable for those 10 years. You'll give an account unto God for decisions that we make. If you live 100 years after that, then praise the Lord, you're going to give 100-year accountability. Yeah. We have a physical life to live. Some will choose to live a carnal, physical life. But that's by choice. Praise the Lord. What Christ has done is ushered in this New Testament church age. He has brought us the revelations of the Word of God. He has revealed to us that we can follow after Him. And He will strengthen us to follow after Him, to live a spiritual life. But it still comes down to an individual choice. And some will choose to live a carnal, physical life. And when they choose to live a carnal, physical life, that means that they will be looking to fleshly pleasures and worldly gain to fuel them. To fuel them, to live the way they want to live. Paul addresses that over, and let me, if you will, I can just read it to you, but in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 14, he says this, but the natural man, that's the man without Christ. That's the man that's just living a physical life. He does not attach spirituality or a belief in God in his choices, in his decisions that he's going to make. And he doesn't take that into consideration concerning his life. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. There's more and more making choices today to live this way. But it's their choice, especially in the United States of America, which no doubt if anybody would open their eyes and look at history, you can tell this was a Christian-based nation. Our laws and everything else about it, it's a Christian-based nation. And they choose not to believe in Christ. They choose not to look to a creator God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. I mean, in order to understand spiritual things, you have to be spiritual. And to be spiritual means that you have to know Christ. Well, he goes on here in verse 15, he says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. You're looking at how the decisions you made, you're judging them according to Christ, according to spiritual things. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. As I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Some of them that had been saved, they had not done anything with their Christianity, and they remained carnal. And others of them just never did receive Jesus, and they were carnal. So some will choose to live a carnal physical life, but that's your choice. God has given us a free will. Others will choose to live a spiritual, physical life. Physical life's the same. What we choose to fuel it is different. Amen. To them, God offers spiritual strength. What a blessing it is when you understand that. When you have chosen Jesus Christ, that God offers you spiritual strength. That's not automatic. We still have to desire it and to do what he says we need to do to receive it. But God offers spiritual strength. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's a life changer right there. But of power. If you are looking to God to live this physical life and you have chosen to live a spiritual physical life, then God says, I have for you the strength to live a spiritual physical life. And one of the first things that God can do to help you to live a spiritual physical life is to take away a fear. Because that's not from God. What is from God? Well, it's not the spirit of fear, but of power, which strengthens us, and of love, which ought to be what motivates us, and of a sound mind, which is what gives us peace. Unlike the world can have. We can have this sound mind that allows us to know that God is in control. What and why am I so worried? All I have to do is be concerned to make sure I'm doing what God wants me to do. You have to look with me to Psalm 62. I love the Psalms, and they can be applicable in so many different areas of life. But in this area of life, God offers spiritual strength. The psalmist has so much help for us here. In chapter 62, and we can't read all 62 and 63. I would encourage you to do that. But in chapter 62 and verse 7, he says this, In God is my salvation. See, in Christ, we know that. I am saved because Christ paid my sin debt. And he offers me as a gift this everlasting life, salvation. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. That's the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Someone that doesn't believe in God and only wants to live a carnal life does not have that. But to all of us who have believed in Jesus Christ and have a desire to live a spiritual, physical life, this is what God offers. In God is my salvation, my rock, my glory, and the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. But you have to believe in God to have a refuge in God. Look down to verse 11. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. All power. He's omnipotent. And no matter what you need and where you need to be strengthened, it can come from God's power to strengthen you. He says, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. O God, thou art my God. Isn't it great to know that not only is God the God of humanity, but he is my God. When you see children running around and you're blessed by seeing children running around, you said, look at the children. But then you see your child in the midst of the children. And your smile gets that much bigger. Because you realize, I'm so thankful and blessed by children, but that's my child. You can be blessed by knowing that God is the God of all those who look to him. But you can get even a greater blessing by understanding, yeah, he is the God of all who want him to be, all who choose to look to him. But he's my God. Yeah. He's my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. We're in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. We all have a life to live. Why a person would not choose to live a spiritual life and believing in God? Boy, I don't understand that. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Know who God is. How can you not worship him? How can you not praise him? He is worthy, just knowing who he is. When I remember thee upon my bed, well, you know, that's key. When you're laying there at night, no matter what you're facing, no matter what kind of trials you're going through, when you're laying there in your bed at night and it's just you, what a blessing it is to know that God's there with you. What a blessing to know that He knows you better than you know yourself. And you can pray and you can talk to a God who cares. That's a spiritual life. A carnal man does not have that. A carnal woman does not have that. But a spiritual man, it's available to you. A spiritual woman is available to you. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. I can identify with the psalmist there. And I'm so thankful that many a nights and many of times that I've been facing trials and tribulations and maybe even close to quitting, I remember God. And I pray for His strength. So in chapter 3, go back there with me. That's introduction. Introduction's long, the message is short. Because it sets it up. Paul reveals what to do if we desire spiritual strength. It's available to us. But it's not automatic. Verse 16, wherefore I desire that ye faint not. That's the whole idea here. I want you to have spiritual strength. I don't want you quitting. I don't want you giving up. I don't want you throwing up your hands. I don't want you to faint. So he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. But you have to have the Spirit inside of you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And this is the only way that Christ dwells in our hearts, by faith. So Paul's praying that God would strengthen them, but your strength from God comes to those that have faith in Christ. The Bible says, and he would say in chapter 2 and verse 8, by grace are you saved through faith. So I need to receive Christ. I have to know that I have Christ living in me. God has made it available to us. We understand the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ Himself, God, walking on this earth to present the fulfillment of the Old Testament, to reveal the revelations of God for New Testament Christianity. He says to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You must receive Jesus Christ, or you are never going to live a spiritual, physical life. You will eventually continue to live a carnal, even if it's a religious, it's a carnal, religious, physical life. A genuine spiritual life is dependent upon your faith in Jesus Christ. You have to be saved. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that means that you cannot go back to a point in time in your life when you realize you were lost and on your way to a devil's hell, and somehow, someway, somebody helped you to see that Jesus is the answer. He paid your sin debt and He offers to you, if you will just believe, salvation. His indwelling within you. You have to choose that. No one. I've talked to people. Oh, yeah, I was raised in church. A lot of people raised in church are living in hell today. Because they trusted in a church to get them to heaven. Trusted in a parent to get them to heaven. Trusted in their works to get them to heaven. Trusted in their finances to get them to heaven. Listen, none of that works. Only faith. Your faith. Not the faith of a parent, not the faith of a pastor, not the faith of a spouse. Your personal faith will determine if Christ dwells within you or if he does not. If Christ does not dwell in you, it is an impossibility to live a spiritual, physical life. Because the strength to do that comes from him. You need to get saved. Because when you're saved, you're sealed. That's why you only saved one time. Because once you truly do get saved, you're sealed. That's what the Bible says. And Paul would write that in chapter 4 of Ephesians. We were just reading chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He says, yeah, you can have this strength to live a spiritual life, but you have to know that you by faith have received Jesus Christ. And if you by faith have received Jesus Christ, you have been sealed. You're his. You can't lose it. Yeah, you're his. And you have him in you because you are sealed. Yeah. Once you know that you're saved, then you need to get baptized, not because that's a completion of salvation, but that is a step of obedience that reveals that you are saved because you have a desire to identify with your Savior. If you don't have any desire to identify with Jesus Christ publicly, the chances of you being saved are very slim. Because once you have the Spirit of God within you, he's going to lead you to be Christ-like and to identify with Jesus Christ in every area. And it begins with baptism. You can identify with his death, his burial and resurrection as you go under it in the waters of baptism, as you brought up out of the water of baptism. You're identifying with Jesus publicly. Yeah. And then you surrender. There's some that's been saved and baptized, but you're still babes in Christ. That's what Paul said. We've already read that. Because you have never surrendered. Which is the second thing that he will instruct us to do in chapter 3. Go back there with me. First thing is get saved. You got to get saved. You'll never live a spiritual life without the strength that comes from the salvation. And then we find here in 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Here it is. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. Are we rooted and grounded in the love of God? Is that what motivates us? Is that what we stand upon? Once you've been saved and baptized, surrendering is being rooted and grounded. When we learn of Christ and his presence in us, you know what happens? We grow roots. Now, to help you with that, Matthew chapter 13. Everybody with me? Stay awake. Come on. Come on. I'm almost done. I said the message isn't that long, so stay with me. This is powerful stuff right here. All of us need to be strengthened to live a spiritual, physical life, and this is how we do it. Look here, Matthew chapter 13. We need to grow roots. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed unto stony places, the same is that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, because he doesn't have roots, when the tribulations or persecutions ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. Really? Somebody didn't say what you thought they should say in greeting you. The preacher didn't stop by and shake your hand. And that's going to keep you from living a spiritual life? Yeah. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and that the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Is that what you're looking at? That's why you haven't grown roots. But then he says in verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. You do your part to understand it. You see, I do my part by preaching it. You do your part by understanding it. Maybe taking the scriptures home with you and going back over what you just heard preached to make sure that what you just heard preached is coming from the Bible. Maybe you get the CD and you listen to it a second time. And sometimes you say, I need to hear that again. And you listen to it a third time. But you hear the word of God and you do your part to understand it. I hope, and I tried my very best to try to help people understand the word of God as I preach, but you have to understand it. For it to make a difference in your life, you have to do your part. You have to understand it. Don't just leave and let it go out the other ear. Take it home with you. Chew on it a little bit. Understand it. He that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, you're applying it, and bringeth forth some 100 and some 60 and some 30. Wait a minute. That's growing roots. You just grew roots. You placed roots in the Bible. I'm rooted in the words of God, not in the words of man. I'm rooted in the Bible, not in just the church. If you're rooted in the Bible, the chances of you being in the right church grow. If you're not rooted in the Bible, the chances of you being in a wrong church, percentage-wise, is very high. Because not only do you need to grow roots in the church, in the Bible, but then you need to grow roots in the church that Jesus established. Because this church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It'll be here till the rapture. The church of Jesus Christ, the church that he established, will continue to be here during this church age. That's why it's called the church age, until the rapture of the church. I need to have roots in the Bible, which in return will help me to have roots in the right church. The first thing that you look to when it comes to making sure you're in the right church is Bible, doctrine. And we need it if we're going to be strengthened to live a spiritual, physical life. Last one, verse 19. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Who believe according to the working. Oh, hold on. Let me get. read back over. I'm sorry. Verse 19, chapter 3. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be, here it is, filled with the fullness of God. Being filled. You already have the indwelling. You already been sealed. So it's not getting saved. It's not getting the Spirit of God. He's already there. It's being aware of Him. And being filled is yielding to Him. Is yielding. In every situation in your life, we need to see God. If you're wanting to be strengthened, no matter what it is that you're facing, you got to see God in whatever it is that you're facing. If you're having problems in your marriage, see God. If you're having problems raising your teenagers, see God. If you're having problems with your finances, see God. If you're having problems with your physical health, see God. Be filled. Yield. If you don't see God, you'll never yield to God in the midst of your trials and troubles. In closing, it wasn't that long ago, somebody brought me a picture and said, Preacher, what do you see in that picture? And it was kind of, I said, well, this is what I see in the picture. And they say, all right, now let me help you to what to look for. And they say, now look for these things in this picture. And after they instructed me, I started looking for these things. Can I tell you, there was a picture inside of a picture. I would have never seen that, though, unless they helped me to know what to look for. You need to see God. A picture inside of a picture. I'm preaching this morning to help you to understand what God wants to do for you. He wants to strengthen you. But you have to be able to see God in whatever it is that you're facing. It's taken away your joy. It's taken away your peace. Taken away your strength. You need to see God. Once you see God, yield. Yield to Him. Yeah. Paul wanted the church. God wants you to be strengthened. So you're able to live that spiritual, physical life to the glory of God. I could have every head bowed this morning. Or just close your eyes, but be mindful of God. Close your eyes for just a minute. Think about how God spoke to you. Think about how it needs to be applied today before you leave this auditorium. God offers spiritual strength to all who desire it. Father, we bow before you this morning and we do love you. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for your holy word and for the opportunities we have to read it, study it, hear it preached. I pray this morning, God, that you would take the preached word and give each and every one who wants to understand, understanding, and strengthen them to be able to make the right decisions. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.